Kathy and I got to keep our grandsons, Haddon and Liam, this week while their parents went to a conference in Nashville. We got to keep them all week. It was wonderful, and we are so tired. I think I'm going to go home and take a nap today. One of the most enjoyable things about keeping them is watching Liam mimic his older brother Haddon. Liam is 3, Haddon is 5. And whatever Haddon does or says, Liam does and says. So if Haddon picks up a ball to play with, Liam picks up a ball. If Haddon starts to sing, Liam will start to sing. If Haddon says, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat that, then Liam says, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat that. And it's just fun to watch them as they model after, as Liam models after Haddon. But then both of them, we watch them model after. We hear some of their parents' phrases as well. You know, that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we socialize. Children grow up and they watch the actions and words of others and they learn to do things that way. That's how disciple making works as well. We who are followers of Jesus Christ, we model our lives after those who've gone before us, who know a little bit more about living for Jesus than we do. And then as we model our lives after them, others in turn see us and model their lives after us. And that's the subject of our message series that we've begun this fall called Made for This. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to the book of 1 Thessalonians? It's getting near the chapter 1, verse 4. It's near the back of the Bible, and it's a short book, so it may be hard to find, so no shame in looking at the table of contents to figure out where it is. Also, if you pull up today's message on the app, you'll see the scriptures we'll have there for you. We'll put them on the screen as well. If you'd like to have a Bible of your own and don't have one, we'll give you one. Just walk by the Welcome Center on the way out and just pick it up, and that is yours to have. Well, our theme for this month and next is Made for This, Disciples Making Disciples. That's our topic. In this series, our guidebook for this series is this book in the New Testament of the Bible called 1 Thessalonians. To us, it is a book of the Bible, but originally, it was one of two letters that we now call 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It was one of two letters written by a missionary named Paul to a church in the Greek city of Thessalonica that he and some of his friends, Silas and Timothy, planted or helped start. That's what we mean when we say church planting. We're talking about church starting. They started this church in Thessalonica. They stayed there for a few months, and then they had to leave, and they went on to other places to start other churches. But then Paul wrote these letters back to them to kind of reaffirm what he had taught them and to clarify some things as well. And that's what we're looking at today. We kicked it off last week with looking through the introduction of this. So let's pick it up in the heart of the letter now as we begin in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says to them, he says, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you." That phrase, brothers and sisters, appears 19 times in the book of 1 Thessalonians. This is a letter from a spiritual father to his children. And yet Paul, who's their spiritual father, he really identifies himself more as their brother in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for brothers and sisters, adelphoi, it refers here to believers, both men and women alike, as part of God's family. "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God," Paul says, "that he has chosen you. Because our gospel," and the word gospel means good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Jesus Christ is God become man, who was born here, who grew up, who lived a life here, who died a sacrificial death for us, and then rose from the dead to prove that he was God after that. That's the good news. That's the gospel. "Because our gospel," verse 5, "because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." This is a warm letter from the Apostle Paul to this church. In addition to the warmth of his letter to the Thessalonians, we also see that it is full of doctrinal teachings. And there's two doctrines that it's rich in that I want to point out that we see this morning right at the front end of it before we get into the heart of this. One is the doctrine of election, and the other is the doctrine of the Trinity. Let's start with election. We see that the doctrine of election in this word chosen. God has chosen you. In 1 Thessalonians, but that's a mouthful, Thessalonians. I've stumbled over it all morning long. I'm going to do it all month long, I know. In 1 Thessalonians, we see Paul referring to both the doctrine of election and the doctrine of free will. The doctrine of election refers to God's divine sovereignty in choosing us before we were even born to be part of his family. And the doctrine of free will is our choosing in faith to accept his choice, his following, and his calling to us. That's the doctrine of election that we see. And then we also see references to the work of the Trinity. The Trinity refers to God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a unique personality of three personalities in one God. God is one, but he comes to us in three distinct personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see not only just those three pointed out here, but we see the work, their work in our salvation, our coming to faith in him, this uniqueness there. Verse 4 informs us that God the Father chose us to be his. Verse 10 reminds us that Jesus, his son, rescues us from our sins. And verse 5 shows us the Holy Spirit came to us with power and deep conviction. This is why when we baptize a new follower of Jesus Christ, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because all three have a part in our salvation. Think of it this way. You know, I'll give you my example that many of you could say the same as, is God the Father chose me to be in his family before time began. Jesus, his son, saved me from the penalty of sin with his sacrificial death on the cross. And the Holy Spirit came to me with power and conviction when I was a child growing up in Orange, Texas. That's when I stepped over the line of faith and with my free will chose to accept that calling and to follow Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit working in me that led me to follow God. So let's look closer at how the Holy Spirit worked in inviting the Thessalonians to follow Jesus. Look at verse 5. Paul said, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. As I mentioned, the gospel is God's good news, is the good news of Jesus' love. God used Paul's words, his verbal words, to share the gospel with the people in Thessalonica. Something happened when they listened to him, when they listened to his message. A strange power that was new to them gripped them. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit confirming in their hearts what Paul was saying with his words. God does the same thing here today in Brazoria County and also in Van Vleck and Sargent, as I was reminded after the first service. That's not Brazoria County, but we have folks, members from there as well. God has done that. He does that in our lives. God's Holy Spirit did that in your heart. For many of you, when you pray the prayer of salvation with me and pray to be step over the line of faith, either here with me or maybe with your small group leader or maybe with your parents at home, they spoke the words of Jesus Christ, the gospel, but it was his Spirit that let you know it was real and convicted you with that power. That same power and conviction may be at work right this moment as I'm speaking in your heart, or maybe if you're listening to this message online after Sunday. And if God's Spirit is speaking to you right now and he's confirming in your heart what is real, the words, the gospel that you've heard, and he's urging you to follow him, then I would encourage you to respond to that in faith. Believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins, that he came back to life to prove he is God. Ask him to forgive your sins. Step over the line of faith and choose to follow him with faith. And then his Holy Spirit will come inside of you permanently to live and to show you how to live. As a matter of fact, I don't want to pass this moment and this opportunity for some of you to step over the line of faith. So I'd ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. And if the Spirit is speaking to you right now with conviction and power, respond to him. I can help you respond to him with a simple prayer. Just pray something like this. Say, Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And I believe you came back to life to prove you are God. And to show me you have power for my life. Please forgive my sins. Come into my life and take control. I choose to follow you. Amen. Look back up here. If you just pray that prayer with me, you stepped out of darkness into light. You've crossed over from death into life. You were spiritually dead before that moment. The Spirit reminded you that he is real. And now you've stepped into life and you have eternal life that can never be taken away from you. If you've done that, I want to tell you, that's just the beginning of your journey with Jesus Christ, and we want to help you continue to take your next steps with God. What I'd like for you to do is to let me know that you just prayed that prayer. If you would, just text the word Brazos Point on your phone to 95577. It's the number that's on the screen. Just text that to us, Brazos Point, to 95577. Follow the prompts, and then we'll get back with you and help you as you continue to take your next steps with God. Let's look back here at 1 Thessalonians. Let's see how Paul describes what happened to those folks when they began to embrace the gospel and follow Jesus. We're going to see the progress of the gospel in three stages here, okay? Paul told the Thessalonians in verse 5, he said, our gospel came to you. It came to you with his words, with the Holy Spirit's power. In verse 6, he said, you welcomed the message. That's when they stepped over the line of faith. And then in verse 8, he says, it rang out from you. And that rang out from you is not like a little ringing bell. It's like a thunderclap or lightning strike. It rang out from you. It was powerful, and people heard it all over. That's the pattern that we inherit from our first century brothers and sisters in Christ. Write this down. It comes to us, we receive it, and then we pass it on. We pass it on. Don't miss that part. That's a big part of disciple making, not that we just become disciples, but that we help others to come become disciples. We pass it on. It's the idea of modeling with others what has happened with us. We pass on what's been given to us. Look at verse 5. Paul goes on to say, you know how we lived among you for your sake. He could have said, you saw us model how to live. It wasn't easy for Paul and Silas and Timothy when they went to Thessalonica. It wasn't easy for them to model that faith because it was a hard time. The Apostle Paul wrote in a letter, later on in a letter to the church in Philippi up the road from Thessalonica, he described his time in Thessalonica as a very hard time. It is a time of troubles. But in those troubles, they didn't give up. In spite of all the troubles they experienced, they continued to share the gospel in the face of persecution. And people received it, they heard it, they believed it. And many people began to follow Jesus Christ and their lives were changed almost instantly. Look at verse 6. This is what he said happened to them. He said, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't easy for Paul and Silas and Timothy to share the gospel in Thessalonica, and it wasn't easy for the folks, the Thessalonians, who did believe to step over the line of faith and follow him because, as I said, they were met with almost immediate persecution. I'll tell you why they were persecuted in just a minute. They were persecuted for believing, and we get a glimpse of their troubles in Acts chapter 17. That's the story we shared with you at the beginning of this series 2 weeks ago, Acts chapter 17, but here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see is the Holy Spirit, as they received and believed in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gave them joy. And that is a promise that the Bible makes to us that I can pass on to you and confirm is give your life to Jesus and he will give you joy in return. He will fill your life with joy. You may have troubles, but you will have joy. The Christian life is not a drudgery. If it is, it's probably because you have mistaken religion and rules for a relationship with Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus. How do we know where he leads? We read the Bible. The Bible is God's word. We believe that, we follow that, and we pattern our lives after that. But we don't do it from a sense of rules and legalism. We do it out of gratefulness to Jesus for what he's done for us. He gives us joy in our life when we follow him. True Christianity is relationship, not religion. Religion is man-made, it's rules. Now, you may suffer for your faith. You may indeed suffer, but it'll be worth it because the Holy Spirit will fill you with joy. And that's what he did with the Thessalonians. Even as they were persecuted, they had such joy in their life. And this pattern of outward opposition and that was responded to with inward joy, it's been repeated throughout the long history of the church throughout time and around the world. The Thessalonians got off to a rough start. Persecution for their faith was harsh. And you can read about it, as I said, in Acts 17. You see how the church was birthed. But their response to the gospel was so remarkable, the way they responded to it. They just followed the lead of Paul and Silas and Timothy. And when those guys didn't cave in to persecution, neither did the Thessalonians. And they enjoyed their new life in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why they enjoyed their life so much in just a moment. I'll give you a hint, though. What caused them to be persecuted and what gave them joy was the same thing. As they followed Paul and Silas and Timothy's example, look at the next verse, verse 7. This is what's really cool about them. They modeled their lives after Paul and Silas and Timothy. In verse 7 it says, Paul said, but then, and so you became a model. They modeled and then they became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God, Paul says, has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Macedonia is in northern Greece, what would be northern Greece today. And Achaia is what we would call southern Greece today. Their faith was known all the way south to Corinth and Athens and Sparta. This church was amazing, and that's what happens. That's what happens when a church goes all in for Jesus Christ. He fills you with joy, and others begin to see it. They notice that it's different. You're different. Something is about you is attractive. Brass's point, a few weeks ago, when we were doing the Money Challenge message series, I told you that you reminded me of the church in Philippi because of your generosity. As a matter of fact, it was the church in Philippi's gifts and money that helped support Paul and Silas and Timothy during their time of troubles in Thessalonica. They provided their financial support so that they could carry the gospel to Thessalonica. And I said that you were like that, that your generosity reminds me of the Philippian church, and I'm grateful for that. Just as the Philippians helped supply money and gifts to these missionaries so that they could share the gospel, you do that. You give money to other churches and other missions organizations, both in our county, in the state, across the country, and around the world. And I'm grateful for that. I want us to be known as a generous church. But you know what, folks? As much as I am so grateful that you are like the church in Philippi, what I want more than that is for you to be like the church in Thessalonica and be known for what they were known for. They were known for the joy they had in the Lord. They were known for being like Jesus Christ. Let's model our lives after those folks so that others can see the joy in our life and want what we have, which is Jesus Christ. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Let me ask you a couple of questions to help you decide, are we this, okay? Here's the first question. Are we a model to other Christ followers? Could we say that as a church? Are we a model to other Christ followers of how to live? Are we following in Jesus' footsteps? Are we a model to other Christ followers here in our community in Brazoria County and Sargent and Van Vleck? Are we a model across the state? Are we a model around the country or around the world? Are there people in other places that see Jesus in us? Another way of asking that question is our faith in God, is it known outside these walls? Is it just something we do on Sundays, or can people see it in us at work and around our community and when we go to other places? It can be, and I think it will be. Does it show so much that people are drawn to us and want Jesus Christ? I believe that it can be if we will embrace this challenge we've given to you over the last few weeks, this pray for one challenge. It's very simple. It's what we've been saying the last few weeks, is every day pray for one. Pray for God to give you one person that you can share his love with. It may be someone you already know that God just begins to burden you with them, puts them on your heart, or maybe someone new that you meet. And it's not a project, it's a relationship. That you would become friends and deepen that relationship and love them and serve them, whether they ever follow Jesus or not. But as you love them and as you pray for them and God puts them on your heart, at some point you'll have the opportunity to share your faith with them. Just think what it can happen if all of us pray for one and then we respond when God gives us the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. As we model Jesus' love, they see it in us. And they, like the Thessalonians, step over the line of faith and they too follow God. That's what I pray we would become known for. Is a church that people see the joy of Jesus Christ in us. I said, I tell you why the Thessalonians got so much pushback from their friends and neighbors for following Jesus Christ. And I told you I would tell you why they were so happy and that it was the same thing. Well, here's why. This is what people were talking about all over Greece. Look at verse 9, the second half of verse 9. This is what they said about the people of Thessalonica. Paul said, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The gods of the Greeks and Romans, Roman paganism, they were everywhere around there. It informed their worldview. Everything they thought about, the people in Thessalonica, they thought about was determined by what they believed about all these pagan gods. If you were going to plant a tree, you had to pray to the relevant God. If you're going on a business trip, you need to make a quick stop by the appropriate shrine. If your son or daughter were getting married, serious and costly worship to the relevant deity was expected. The Thessalonians, they could see Mount Olympus, across the horizon, 50 miles to the south of them. That's where they believed all these gods lived on Mount Olympus. Now, in turning from idols to serve God, these new believers in Jesus Christ, they angered their friends and neighbors, and that anger caused their friends and neighbors to persecute them and literally physically attack them at times. But why? Why would it make someone angry if they just switched religions and stopped worshiping these gods and worshiped another god, a god that they believed is one? I mean, it might have been a little bit offensive to them, but why would they be so angry? Well, here's why. The people lived in fear of those gods. They didn't believe those gods loved them. They didn't love those gods. They didn't make sacrifices and worship them because they loved them. They did it because they were trying to appease them. They were trying to keep them from messing their businesses up. They were trying to keep them from messing up their daughter or their son's wedding or marriage. You see, they believed that they had to give sacrifices and offerings and worship these different deities to appease them, to hold back their anger. But there was no guarantee that if they did that, they would. There was no guarantee they would have a good business trip. There was no guarantee that their son or daughter would have a good marriage or have a great wedding. But they felt certain that if they didn't do those things, that those gods in anger would snap back at them. Therefore, when these people would see their neighbors coming to Jesus Christ, they were afraid of all these deities, these gods, exacting revenge on them for people not appeasing them. They were frightened. They lived in fear and superstition. And so they attacked the Christians for that. But it's an interesting thing. What gave, and that still happens today, by the way, people all around the world continue to worship all these different deities and gods that they've made up in their minds and these idols that they've crafted out of wood and clay and stone and plastic. And they do it not because they believe these gods love them, but they do it to appease them. We've seen it in Cambodia. In Cambodia, in front of houses and businesses are what we call these spirit houses. They look like little doll houses, Asian doll houses. But in fact, they're spirit houses, and they keep them out in front of their house, and they put fruits and other types of things, fake money and all kinds, and burn incense on them to try to stop the gods there at the front gate so they won't come in and disturb them in their house. And you see some of those same idols today if you go to like an Asian restaurant. Have you ever seen these like little golden box down at the bottom? It's got fruit and incense burning on it and colorful lights. That's a shrine. That is a shrine to gods. And it's not because they love them or think those gods love them. They're trying to have good business there, and they're thinking that that will give them good luck or good business if they have that shrine. If you ever see those little kitties, a little kitty cat that has a little arm that does this, that's an idol. That is an idol. That is to bring good business. That's what that idol is for. It's a business idol. And we see this. We see this in different Asian-owned businesses. Not all of them, but in a lot of them. Just look and pay attention. There's idol worship right here. We see this is the kind of idolatry that's around Asia and Africa and Latin America. We see it coming into our culture more and more. Just recently, I got to say this right. We've seen this recently, even when we see in things like Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. We think that's something interesting. We read about it in the newspaper, and the libraries put on exhibits, but that's idol worship. And even though Disney made a cute movie about it, it's still idol worship. We see this more and more coming into our culture. But you know what? Most of the idols, and we think, okay, well, that's other people, okay? But it's not. All people make and worship idols. And here in the West, our idols are different, but they're just as strong and they're just as powerful and just as damaging to us. Our idols in the West, in America, for the most part, are idols of the heart. They're things that we worship to, things that we try to appease. They're usually tied to money, sex, power, reputation. And we live in fear that we'll lose some of those and we think that those give us security, and we forget that we could lose any of those at any moment. The only thing that we have that is eternal that we can always count on is our relationship with Jesus Christ. When the Thessalonians turned away from these idols, it freaked people out. But then when they saw that they were different, they had joy because they were free from fear and free from superstition. They now realize that there's only one God, and that God loves them. And that God could not love them any more or love them any less. And there's nothing that they needed to do to appease him because he loved them. And out of gratitude for what he had done for them, they chose to follow him. And we are in a long line of succession as people have passed that on and modeled that. And that's how we now know about Jesus Christ and the love of God, because it's been passed down to us. Fear of losing the things that we worship, our idols, our careers, Our bank accounts, our reputations, fear of losing those things freaks us out and it freaks people out around us. But when we see someone who steps away from that, we go, why would you do that? Why would you give up a good job to go into the ministry or to go overseas? Why would you not do this that everyone else is doing? Because we're free. We don't have to do those things to have confidence and to have real life and joy. When people see our freedom, many will want what we have. And we can share that with them. That's why we're here. That's why Brazos Point is here. That's why we are a church for the unchurched, because we care passionately that other people know that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus died for them, and Jesus wants to set them free from the slavery of sin. I told you my grandson Haddon models after his older brother Haddon. Liam models after Haddon. Let's be like Liam. Only let us follow the model of the Thessalonians. And let's not just model after them, let's pass it on. Let's be models. People need freedom from fear and superstition that their lifeless idols cast on them. And we can tell them where that freedom comes from. We have the good news that set the Thessalonians free. The news that Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, will come and rescue them from the wages of sin. People need to hear that. And we're the ones that can tell them. I pray that we are and that we do. Let's pray. God, thank you that we stand on the shoulders of so many people who have come before us, followers of your son, Jesus Christ, who modeled after others, who passed that good news on to others, who crossed oceans and came to this continent, who passed it on to others and passed it on to others and traveled across this country and passed it on to others. And somewhere along that line, each of us heard the gospel, the good news of your son, Jesus Christ. God, let it not stop with us. Wherever you give us opportunity, wherever we go for business or work or pleasure, God, help us to pass it on. Help us to pass it on in our neighborhoods. Help us to pass it on in our work, in our schools. Help us to pass it on when you give us the opportunity to go to other places. God, let us share this good news that you've given us, that has saved us, that's given us freedom. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.